The Ticket.
Podcasts are brought to you in part by Lewis Jewelers, the official jeweler of The Ticket and proud partner of Michigan Athletics.
We are back, folks, here on the Michigan Insider Sports Talk 1050 WTKA online at WTKA.com. Sam Webb, Ira Weintraub on the other side. You know what that music means? It means it's the time of the show where we give you the latest and the greatest in football and or basketball recruiting. Take your recruiting questions at this time and this time only. 734-998-1050. Excuse me. You can tweet us at Michigan Insider. Tweet me directly at SamWeb77. You can email us at studio at WTKA.com. So late last night, news broke from Greg Biggins, who talked to Damani Jackson, that he has eliminated the University of Michigan from his list of schools he's considering. A list that previously consisted of just Michigan and Bama, and now consists of Bama and USC. This obviously in the aftermath of Lincoln Riley's hire. So two things. First of all, Michigan did all it could, absolutely all it could do on this front. Will Johnson did all he could do on this front as well. And as you look at the reaction coming off of the visit, where he laid out quite plainly, as you heard me say and saw me write, he laid out quite plainly that he didn't think Michigan was going to win that game. It told me that he had either silently committed to Bama or was set in his mind on going to Bama, and Michigan winning that game was kind of I think, the expectation was that it was going to just confirm for him that, yeah, I should be at Bama. I should be going to Bama. And that Michigan winning that game, doing something he didn't think it was capable of doing, gave him some pause. Some. But I think this, breaking it down to Bama and SC, I mean, it was going to be Bama. There was going to be no changing his mind on what he thought his best path to the pros going to be. What I called it was the head versus heart thing. And I think it's much the same consideration here with SC, because this is a rebuilding job there. And are they going to, I mean, he'd be staying home, but I mean, that seemed to not be top of mind. Now, he has been a little all over the place. He's been a little inconsistent with, or his feelings have fluctuated. And I say that because upon Lincoln Riley's hire, his initial reaction was, is Bama in Michigan. Lincoln Riley is too offensive minded. That was from Greg Biggins after the, he told that to Greg Biggins after the Lincoln Riley hire. So, I mean, a couple of days later, he's considering them strongly again. Maybe it's the Lincoln Riley and the Roy Manning effect, as Roy Manning has already been out recruiting him on behalf of USC. Someone asked me about that this morning. I don't know the rules. I don't know those rules. It seems like something that Oklahoma is on the lookout for their compliance.
Well, you can't recruit for USC until you've been approved by USC compliance. So there are rules being broken if you use recruiting for USC. I just don't know what that level is. But you can't recruit for a school you don't work for, you've been hired by. You can't represent them. That is against the NCAA rules.
So, yeah, I suppose that could be an issue. How much of one, I don't know. But the point is that he has shifted his focus to those two schools. And I wonder if they have what it takes to be. I think it's going to be Bama, you know, barring something, you know, miraculous for the Trojans. I think the dude was set on Bama coming into the Michigan visit and saw something he really didn't expect to see. He had his heartstrings tugged on a little bit. He's got his guy there recruiting him too. He said it's hard to tell him no. Maybe he just didn't want to tell him no in person. That could have been part of it too. Didn't want to tell him no in person. So the end of the day, they did all they could do. Now, you got other ones to close out. You got Zeke Berry set to make his decision coming up, announce his decision coming up on Friday. You got Cody Jones, a guy committed to you to lock down. I have an update on that later on today. Corner out of Tennessee. There's some other guys they've been looking at here on in the final stretches of the final stretch of the 2022 cycle. And then the other thing is I really think a major focus for them is going to be the portal. It's going to be the portal for some speed, some more secondary speed, especially if Dax goes pro, right? I mean, Dax is the pure speed guy in the group. Like, if there's a track guy on the other side, I mean, that's not to say that you don't have your other guys that you put on them, but who do you have in your secondary that can flat run? And I think that they were looking for some of that. That's one of the things Damani Jackson would have brought to the table. And that's one of the things Cody Jones can bring you, some good speed. But, you know, just a flat track guy that can bring some of that to your secondary. If that isn't available in the final stages of the 2022 cycle, and that's both in the early and late signing periods, I expect for Michigan to scour the portal vigorously for that element. So be on the lookout for that. But got a Zeke Berry story coming this morning. I don't know if I mentioned here on the airwaves that he set his announcement date for Friday. So be on the lookout for that for as far as Michigan is concerned. And then I've been getting a lot of questions about Keon Sabb. That recruitment is ongoing. And I don't think there's any question it would be affected by the Oklahoma search. Why the Oklahoma search? Because do you see one of the names that is at or near the top of the so-called hot board? Have you seen it, Ira? Brent Venables from Clemson.
Rumors he's the top name.
And, I mean, you know, for a long time, Tony Elliott and Brent Venables, their names have been mentioned with jobs, and yet there they sat as, you know, top-paid coordinators at Clemson. I mean, turning down jobs. Man, I was told last year, for instance, that Tony Elliott could have had the South Carolina job. I was told that he was a prime candidate for the Tennessee job. Ira. Didn't go for it. And I think that was because of maybe the looming specter of sanctions. But really sitting around waiting for a prime opportunity. I mean, I guess when you're paid like that, right? When you're paid a couple million dollars as a coordinator and you don't have the stress of being the head guy. I mean, think about it. It kind of makes sense, doesn't it? Doesn't it kind of make sense to sit in the coordinator spot waiting for the job to come along as opposed to a job coming along if a school is willing to pay you like that? Well, Oklahoma coming around is not a job coming around for Brent Venables.
Yeah, it's the job he wants.
It's the job. And they're on their way to the SEC too. Now, some people might look at that, oh, they're on the way to the SEC. But no, that their profile is about to rise. So, yeah, man, I think that this makes that recruitment more viable than it already is. Yeah,
Sam, you have to remind people, Venables was at Oklahoma from 1999 to 2011. Right?
This is the job.
Yeah, this is the job. He's a Big 12 guy, although obviously you said they're not going to be in the Big 12 for much longer. He went to Kansas State where he started his coaching career, but he was at Oklahoma for a long time. So makes a lot of sense, especially after Kentucky locked in Stoops to make sure that no Stoops was available to Oklahoma to hire.
is that the talk? Is Mark Stoops the talk?
No, Kentucky gave him a raise because his name has started to come up a little bit and they wanted to keep him in Kentucky.
Dude, listen, let me tell you something. If Oklahoma wants Mark Stoops,
they'll get Mark Stoops.
they'll get Mark Stoops.
Because most of the new contracts, have you not noticed with most of the new contracts, they're almost all fully guaranteed on the one side, and the buyouts are really low on the coach's side, right? Tucker's buyout super low, and Kelly's buyout super low, but the other side, they're almost fully guaranteed.
Listen, I'm not saying this in a disparaging sort of way. I just got a couple minutes left in a recruiting roundup. This is, I know a lot of coaches. I call a lot of coaches friends. But that profession, they're mercenaries. They're mercs. And I'm not saying that in a disparaging sort of way.
It's the nature of the business.
It's the nature of the business. It's the nature of that business. I mean, look, think about it.
Sam, the only way to not be a mercenary is to have an entire staff that's only your guys and they never leave. They're all Michigan alum or all Oklahoma alum or all Clemson alum, and then they never leave.
The only way. I mean, think about it. Because it's a two-way street. I mean, you can't criticize coaches for looking for the next best opportunity when you have a guy like, this is not me calling Ed Orgeron the bastion of all things right and ethical and the bastion of schematic of X's and O's acumen. None of those things. But he did just win a national championship a couple of years ago, and he got fired. He just won a national championship.
It's a business where you have to get yours. I don't think that a lot of people are disparaging these coaches for all. They're questioning because no one's ever left Notre Dame before. No one's ever – the last time someone left Oklahoma besides being burnt out for the pros was 1941, right? So people are looking at those two jobs in particular and saying these guys are chasing the money. I don't have begrudge them for that, right? It's professional. You want to become it's your job. It's a profession. You want to find a new job. People do that all the time. But people are questioning.
Coaches aren't loyal to schools.
No, and I don't think – honestly, I don't think, Sam, you're right. And I don't think people are questioning Lincoln Riley nearly as much as Brian Kelly, because Brian Kelly's team is a Michigan loss – and an Alabama loss or a Cincinnati loss away from the playoff.
Right.
And how he left is what people are questioning. I don't think, right. Well, people are, they shouldn't question that he left. They should only question how he did it.
How he left. I'm with you. My thing in this entire equation is that everyone should be able to get theirs. It shouldn't just be the schools get theirs.
Correct.
It shouldn't just be the coaches get theirs.
Everybody should get theirs.
It shouldn't be just the coaches and the players get theirs. The coaches and the schools get theirs and the players get in where they fit in. Everyone should have the opportunity to get there. So if the coaches can fire or if the schools can fire a coach on a whim, then the coaches should be able to leave on a whim. And if the school can fire a coach on a whim and the coach can leave on a whim, then the players should get paid and should be able to leave on a whim.
Yeah,
should be able to get there.
Here's one of the numbers that somebody put out. They said in whatever the year was that Brian Kelly got hired, his first salary at Notre Dame was $700,000. He's now going to make close to $10 million a year. When he got that job at Notre Dame, the players at Notre Dame were making zero. And now the players at Notre Dame are still making zero. Now that they can get NIL money, but they're talking about from the school. And this is what you keep getting to, which is at some point, which is why these huge contracts are really interesting to watch, because at some point, that TV revenue is going to get shared. And then what happens when the TV revenue gets shared? What happens to the schools when they're on the hook for $10 million coaches and they need half of that for the players?
Right.
Interesting question.
You're absolutely right. That day's coming. The players are getting a taste of it with NIL, but the bigger these numbers are, Mel Tucker's getting 9.5. Mel Tucker's getting
at schools and Sam job. And most of these schools in the last 2 years, they had cuts in their departments, whether it was furloughs, layoffs, salary cuts. And these coaches are all doing what they're doing as opposed to say Jim, who's already got what $500,000 earned and can earn another or $1 million earned and can earn another million and a half or whatever it is. And he's giving it all back to the school. Even though that would have made up all the money he took in his pay cut, he's giving it all back to the school to give to the people that took pay cuts and lost their money.
I'm not Mel, if you can get it. More power to you. Good for you, right? But I'm saying
no. Question the schools. You question the schools, not the coaches. You question the schools.
I'm telling the schools got to be prepared because the bigger those numbers get, the more fuel you offer to the sentiment on the player side. That wait a minute, where's mine? And if enough of them say where's mine, you got a problem.
It's coming. It's just a matter of saying, is it going to happen in 2025, 2020, 2030, somewhere between or later? it's down the road. Just question is how soon or how late down the road it's going to happen.
We got to get to a break. We got Steve Clark coming up on the other side, who he won the head-to-head in our pick'em segment. He lost, but he won when it came to Michigan. I have him explain that to you as well. Coming up here on the Michigan Insider on Sports Talk 1050 WTK The Ticket, the official voice of University of Michigan Sports Ann Arbor and Cumulus Station.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.